Hey, Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I'm so excited because it is time in our program for some NBA news and notes as we get set to immerse you in the latest storylines over the first 3 weeks of the season. He's our go-to guy. That is Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders. Check him out online right now, basketballinsiders.com. Good evening, Steve. Always such a privilege.
Alyssa, always enjoy being on the show.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to get right to it. Obviously, our home base, we are right here in Houston. And how about those Rockets? I mean, they drop a close one in Oklahoma City at Chesapeake Energy Arena. I want to get your pulse. What are some of those early impressions? Because the ball movement, the speed, Mike D'Antoni, I know they lost against the Thunder, but it really seems like he's putting his guys in a position to win.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked to some of these guys early on, and, you know, my question was, is the pace sustainable? I actually wrote about it. You know, it's the speed that'll kill you, and it's on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to, you know, really play up-tempo and get, you know, out on the break and really force teams to, you know, kind of panic a little bit in their transition defense and then execute their offense very, very quickly. And I think it plays to James Harden's strengths. You mentioned that Oklahoma City game. You know, seven players in double figures. You know, normally you win that. But then you had a Herculean performance by Russell Westbrook, which has become kind of the new normal. Then you had a huge game for Victor Oladipo, and that was kind of the difference, was two guys on the OKC side showed up really big. And it was a kind of an off night for James Harden. You know, he was only at 13 points, and any given night you need him to produce a little bit more. And not just because they need the points, but because it forces, you know, you've got to defend him differently. You've got to do things and expend more energy towards him. But so far, this Rockets team looks really good. We'll see how they come together. I think the big challenge always with a Mike D'Antoni team is, you know, how much defense are they going to be allowed to play, because they really do want to kind of get back. And, you know, when you got guys kind of leaking out and trying to get to the races, sometimes it doesn't mean guys are staying in their situation. So, you know, they brought in Jeff Bezdelic to kind of run the defense on that side of the ball. And they do have some very good defensive players when you think about a Corey Brewer and Trevor Ariza. And both of those guys are really trying to make sure that, you know, the team doesn't fall in love with the offense, because you don't win basketball games in the NBA. You certainly don't win playoff games in the NBA without the defense.
Well, and that was one of the question marks coming into the season. Is this a strong defensive roster? And the other thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, even against that game against Oklahoma City, I mean, they just had too many turnovers.
Yeah, but to answer your question, no, it's not a defensive-minded roster. There are a few defensive-minded players. I think Clint Capella is a pretty good rim defender. You know, Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer made their name in the league defensively. But, you know, Ryan Anderson's not going to be a defensive-minded guy. You know, Eric Gordon is not a defensive-minded guy. You know, these guys were brought in to get the offense way up and to really bring a lot of perimeter shooting. So you do lose a little bit when those guys are on the floor defensively, and it's just because they're not defensive-minded. So, you know, it's going to be a balancing act for them. They've got to find the right mix. You know, they've played KJ McDaniel some, but he hasn't played lately. You know, so they're still trying to figure out what's the right six or seven guys to really put on the floor, you know, for the bulk of the minutes. And once you kind of figure that algebra out, then you can start to say, okay, these are guys that we're going to maybe pursue in trade or maybe look to make roster changes. You know, Daryl Morey never sits on his hands when it comes to, you know, making moves. So this Houston Rocket team, and he said it already on record that, you know, they're actively looking for a second player to put next to James Harden. So no leap of the imagination is this a finished product for the Houston Rockets.
Well, incidentally, this is the 50th season in Rockets franchise history. And it just so that you know, I mean, the fan base here, Steve, they really seem energized. They're very excited about this up-tempo style and Mike D'Antoni. Lots of positives. But what is your view overall? I mean, they're missing still some key players. I mean, is this a championship roster, or what else do they need to add to the mix to make it happen?
Well, a second star. And to answer the question directly, no, it's not a championship roster, but it could be. You know, you've got a lot of guys that could come into their own, and, you know, they still haven't resolved, you know, Donatas Montiunas yet. So, you know, you can add that to the equation. There's a missing Patrick Beverley. So, you know, you can add that to the equation. But they need one more guy. And when you kind of look at the Rockets compared to, like, the Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, or the L.A. Clippers, all of them have three guys. And in the Warriors' case, five guys. And, you know, having one superstar is going to win you some regular season games, but it's going to be really hard in the postseason when you're talking about winning four straight from any one of those teams. The Rockets just don't have the firepower.
Hey, Steve Kyler is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can check him out at Basketball Insiders. Reach out to our audience, Steve.
Yeah, you know, you can always get me on Twitter. I am at SteveKuylerNBA, or swing by basketballinsiders.com.
Okay, so we're talking about the Houston Rockets. I want to zero in a little bit more on their new head coach, Mike D'Antoni. He wasn't necessarily, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, he wasn't necessarily the popular choice to be hired for the Rockets, but it appears it really is working and that it is the right move. Do you agree?
Well, you know, one, Mike D'Antoni's had, you know, a rough go of it since the Phoenix Suns. You know, he had a terrible run in New York where he wasn't effective. Then he was the guy that got hired instead of Phil Jackson, so you get that label. That team wasn't very good. Dwight Howard leaves in free agency. So there's been a lot of mud on Mike D'Antoni's name, but very quietly, the NBA, and you look at the Golden State Warriors, you look at some of the, you know, the teams that are really playing with a lot of pace. You know, that's Mike D'Antoni basketball. It's shoot a lot of threes. It's get out and push and go, go, go. And, you know, it sometimes guys are a little bit ahead of themselves. And, you know, Mike D'Antoni's style of basketball is what's in vogue. And you're seeing around the NBA that, you know, some of these defensive-minded coaches, Nate McMillan in Indiana, Frank Vogel with the Orlando Magic, you know, even Jeff Hornacek with the Knicks, is, you know, the old-school basketball isn't necessarily winning basketball games anymore. And the younger guys and the guys that are willing to really play fast are having a lot of success. You look at the Lakers under Luke Walton.
Yeah.
They're playing fast and have a lot of success. So I know that fans didn't like Mike D'Antoni because he comes with a label of no defense at all. and that scares fans.
Bless his heart, yeah.
The truth of it is, I think it was smart for them to bring in, you know, a defensive coordinator and try to balance that out.
Well, to Mike's credit, too, I mean, you had mentioned talking about the Phoenix Suns, his time there. He really helped revolutionize the NBA and legitimizing a small ball and playing at a fast pace.
Or less a thing. So, and it's true, but it's funny. You talk to, you know, some of the advanced analytics guys, some of the, you know, the people that are really tracking what works in basketball, and the sooner you can get into the shot clock, the better. And the worst basketball and some of the worst percentage basketball happens late in the shot clock. So if you're not into your offense and getting a shot up at the, you know, the 10-second mark on the shot clock, your percentages just start to plummet for every second. So, you know, you got 24 seconds, you get four of them to get across and 10 to run your play and then do it all again. And Mike's trying to figure out how to get that in under 10.
Okay, the heart of the Houston Rockets, of course, is James Harden. He's playing at a high level. He's giving tremendous effort, posting big-time numbers. It's all because he's been set free from the Kardashian, right?
That and from any responsibility on defense. But the funny thing is James has been very good defensively this year. I think that he's taken some of the criticism to heart. I think that, one, the style of play really suits him, but I think he heard all the negatives. So he came into this not only in incredible shape, which was a big knock on him last year, but he came in with the understanding that this is his team and they're going to go as he goes. And much like we're seeing with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, is James is really thriving under that. They're putting the ball in his hands a lot. You know, not only is he at 28-something a game scoring, but he may end up leading the league in assists. And that's pretty big for a non-point guard. And to be in the 12 and a half assist range for a guy that's known as a scorer is pretty impressive. And, you know, he just keeps coming. You know, you kind of think, okay, this is going to be the night where maybe James isn't going to be a double-digit assist guy, and he ends up at 13, even when he's not scoring well. And that's normally when guys get selfish, is, hey, I'm at 13 points in the third quarter, time to take over and get some shots up. He just keeps wheeling and dealing, and he's got an unlimited green light to not only playmate, but also call his own number, and he's having a lot of fun.
Well, Rocket fans, they love when he's out on the floor, but when he does, you know, step aside and take that time out, who needs to be stepping out and providing those quality minutes, because he means so much to the Rockets?
Yeah, no question, and that's the big question, right, is it going to be Eric Gordon? You know, Eric Gordon can be a playmaker, has played, you know, the playmaker role on other teams. You know, I think Patrick Beverley is going to be a big part of that. You know, I think the one thing about James Harden is he's such a unique package of scorer or playmaker that there really isn't anyone else on the roster, and that's kind of part of the problem. You know, they're using Tyler Ennis as kind of the backup point guard, but he's not the guy. I mean, the drop-off there is pretty significant, so you've got to keep James on the floor almost the entire game, and then you run the risk of, you know, wearing him down. He says he can play all day, but keeping him at 40 minutes, 41 minutes a night, you know, he's going to run out of gas because he is the engine that makes them go.
Hey, more NBA talk coming your way with Basketball Insider Steve Kuyler after this quick commercial break.